The following broadcast is a presentation of the Mountford Free Methodist Church in Decatur, Illinois. Join us Sundays at 8:15 and 10:45 a.m. or visit us on the web at decaturfmc.org.
We call this Palm Sunday. It's a day so long ago where Jesus looked at his disciples and he asked them to go grab a donkey and to bring it to him. And so he saw this donkey and he sat on it, and then he started to ride into Jerusalem. When people saw this, when they saw this man riding on a donkey coming into Jerusalem, they saw that it was Jesus. Many of those people knew who Jesus was because of the great things that he has done. But many people also had a problem with Jesus. But they saw that this was a man who was riding on a donkey, which meant for them, this is the king we've been waiting for. This is the one who we need to fight for us. So they grabbed their palm branches. Some of them took their cloaks off and put it on the road. And they yelled this word, Hosanna! Hosanna! This word in Greek meant save us. Lord, save us. And how this morning, the truth is every morning, we yell Hosanna, don't we? As sinful and flawed people, we yell Hosanna, Lord, save me, save us. Hosanna. And so Jesus rode on that donkey into Jerusalem, knowing that this is the last trip he's going to take, because he's going to die. Knowing that he is going to die, why? To save us. That's why he's on the cross to begin with. That's why he was born. He was born to die. And yet, we see in the scripture that when he, before he went into Jerusalem and overlooked Jerusalem, we see in the scripture that it says that Jesus wept over the city. Why? Because he knew you're shouting Hosanna, you're shouting save me, but you're not getting it. I'm not coming to fight for you. I'm coming to die for you. I'm not coming to be this warrior. I'm coming to bring peace, for you to be saved. We've been going through the last phrases or the last words of Jesus on the cross. While Jesus was on the cross, the first three phrases that he had were all very powerful divine phrases that shows his divinity. Truly, this man in the midst of suffering was the Son of God. The first three phrases, he reached out and he helped. He took care of people. The first phrase when he was on the cross that we looked at 3 weeks ago, he looked down and he says, Father, forgive them, for they do not know what they are doing. So the first phrase that we see that he reached out and forgave. And then last week we looked at a phrase when he saw the criminal on his right, who looked at Jesus and knew who Jesus was and was repentant for the things that he has done. He cried out to Jesus, remember me when you go to your kingdom. Jesus looks over at him and says, I tell you the truth, today you will be with me in paradise. He reached out and he saved. And then while on the cross, again, during his suffering, during his agony, he looks down and he sees his mother. Can you imagine from his mother's eyes what she was going through? Watching her son up on that cross, dying this brutal death. And he looked down and saw his mother. And then saw his friend, his disciple, John. And he looks down and he says, Mother, this is your son. Disciple, this is your mother. And he reached out and he helped. All three statements showing the sign of divinity, but yet things changed after this. If you have your Bible, turn with me to Matthew chapter 27 as we read the fourth phrase. Matthew chapter 27. We're going to start actually in the middle of a paragraph. We're going to start in verse 41. This is what it says. In the same way, the chief priests, the teachers of the law, and the elders mocked him. He saved others, they said, but he can't save himself. He's the king of Israel. Let him come down now from the cross, and we will believe in him. He trusts in God. Let God rescue him now. If he wants him, for he said, I am the Son of God. In the same way, the rebels who were crucified with him also heaped insults at him. From noon until 3, in the darkness, in the afternoon, darkness came over the land. About 3 in the afternoon, Jesus cried out, in a loud voice, Eli, Eli, lama sabachthani, which means, my God, why have you forsaken me? You see, after he said these words, something happened. The skies turned black. Darkness fell during the day. Why? Because it was during this time that God had to distance himself from his only son. Why did he have to do that? Well, remember why God died in the first place. Jesus died for you and me. Jesus died for not just my sin. He died for all of our sins. And we know that sin can separate us from God. If we have this sin in our life, it can separate us from him. And we call and we ask for forgiveness. Who brings us together again. You see, he had all this sin on his shoulders, dying, and God had to distance himself. Another version of this phrase says, my God, why have you abandoned me? Some people think this was probably the worst agony that Jesus ever faced. You see, Jesus and his father were so close. They had this close relationship where the entire life of Jesus, wherever he went, was where God told him to go. When God says, I want you to say something, that's when he spoke. Over and over throughout Scripture, you see Jesus who had to break away from the crowds or from people to spend intimate time with his Father. They were close. But now, the darkness came over the land. And he cries out. For the first time in his life, he feels distance. Maybe for the first time in his life, he feels darkness. The Greek word for cried out basically means he was yelling from his inner being. Now remember, when someone dies in this gruesome way, most people dying on the cross died because of suffocation. How hard it was for them to even speak, to even get their breath, for him to cry out these words from the cross with all of his being. He would have had to lifted himself up with the nails in his arms and in his legs to cry out this cry. My God, why have you forsaken me? Have you ever questioned God? Have you ever asked God why? This is what Jesus was doing on the cross. He was saying, God, why? Why are you doing this? Why are you leaving me? And while Jesus said these words, and for these last words that he says while he's on the cross, when the time was coming so short to his death, he now is quoting out scripture that he knew so well. We see these words, if you want to turn with me to Psalm chapter 22, starting in verse 1. We see these words, the same cry as David cried in Psalm chapter 22. You remember David? The man after God's own heart, but made some horrible decisions. And now he's regretting these decisions that he's made, and this is the cry of David. My God! My God, why have you forsaken me? Why are you so far from saving me? So far from my cries of anguish. My God, I cry out by day, but you do not answer. By night, but I find no rest. Have you ever felt like this in your life? That you are crying out the same words as almost David is crying out of saying, why, God? I'm going through this darkness. I'm going through this pain. Why don't I feel you there? God, why are you letting this happen to me? I don't get it. Many of you guys might have heard the Footprints in the Sand poem before. It's a poem of someone who's walking in the sand and saying, every time I look back, I see that there's two set of footprints. And then it says this. This bothered me because I noticed that during the low periods of my life, when I was suffering from anguish, sorrow, or defeat, I could see only one set of footprints. So I said to the Lord, you promised me, Lord, that if I followed you, you would walk with me always. But I have noticed that during the most trying periods of my life, There has only been one set of footprints in the sand. Why, when I needed you most, have you been there? Have you not been there for me? Even in this poem, this man cries out, why? Where are you? I'm going through so much. I'm hurting here. The same cries as David, but yet it doesn't end in verse 2. Let's read verses 3 through 5, and let's see what David says. Yet you are enthroned as the Holy One. You are the one Israel praises, and you, our ancestors, put their trust. They trusted, and you delivered them. To you they cried out, and you were saved. In you they trusted, and were not put to shame. David is saying, in the midst of me crying out, he recognized, truly, God, in the midst of my darkness, you are still God. You are still on the throne. You are still victorious. You still love me. And I trust in you. Did you notice those four words in the scripture that we read in the midst of people yelling insults at him? It says, he trusts in God. In the midst of the darkness, Jesus still trusted. But yet he still cried out, why? Why me? Why do I have to go through this? In the Bible, when someone cries out why, we see that God answers. We see a woman named Hannah who was not able to have children. Back then, for a woman that showed her power, if you will, of how many women or how many children they could have. And back then, if a woman was barren, a lot of people kind of looked down on them. And so this woman was not able to have, Hannah was not able to have children, and she cried out from her inner being to a point where it says that people around her thought that she was crazy. She was crying out, probably saying, God, why? I don't get it. I followed you. I loved you. But yet still this stuff is happening to me. And then shortly after, God brought Samuel to her. She was pregnant. She had a son, named him Samuel. Guy named Job, who lost everything, all of his money, all of his health, a lot of his family was gone. He cried out, God, why? Why are you doing this to me? Even to a point when his wife was saying, you need to curse God. He's saying, no, I will always say, blessed is his name. I don't care what I'm going through. And God came and restored him and gave him back everything that he had. The Israelites cried out many times in exile, why? And during that time, God freed them. When they cried out because they were hungry, God even brought manna from heaven in the midst of the desert. When we cry out, he listens. There's been times in our life, for Tiffany and I, that we have cried out. Many hard times in our life, where together we said, God, why? I don't get it. I don't know why. But I know that you are good. And so I asked Tiffany to come and to share a little bit of some of our journey that we went through during some dark times in our life.
And so we got pregnant with our second baby, and at church one week there was a young mom who her mother went to our church, and she came that week because she had gotten pregnant, and it was an unexpected pregnancy, not planned, not at a good time for her, and she lost the baby, and her mom had asked me when she found out that she was pregnant, you know, could you help her? You know, she's young and she needs some help. And so I had kind of been talking to her about pregnancy and that kind of thing. And, but when it came, you know, when she lost the baby, I didn't know how to deal with that. I didn't know what to tell her or what to say to her. And, just a week after that, after I'd found out that this young lady lost her baby, we also found out that our baby had no heartbeat, and, that we had lost our second baby. And, you know, it's something that as a young mom, you don't think that kind of thing is ever going to happen to you. You know, you hear of moms who get pregnant and they have healthy babies, and you think that you'll probably be in that populace that won't have any problem with that. And so it was kind of a shock to us that we weren't going to get to hold this little one that we had planned for, and we had made plans for this child. And so it was just through my first trimester, and we're kind of spiraling about what, you know, why God was doing that, why he had chosen to, you know, why did he even let us get pregnant if it wasn't his will for us to have that child? And so I really struggled with that for a while, and eventually realized that I hadn't known what to say to that young lady who had lost her baby. I had no idea how to handle her grief. And the Lord kind of used that to show me, you know, there are hurting people that you haven't struggled the way that they have, but you can still find a way to reach them. And so he kind of taught me through that, how to reach mothers and grieving parents. Then shortly 2 months after that, my mother suddenly passed away. She was in a tragic accident, and the Lord took her to heaven. And I was mad, honestly, because I was still grieving the loss of my little baby, and I needed my mom around to help me do that. And so I just was like, why would you do this, Lord? She's kind of that backbone of the family. She was the one who gave us our faith, who taught us to love Jesus, who took us to church. And it felt like everything was falling apart, you know, in her loss. And then as we're coming back, I remember grieving with my family and being so thankful that we weren't alone, and that the Lord was with us, and that he was showing us even how to grieve. Because we didn't, you know, there was a time when any one of you who's lost a parent probably remembers that there's a time when you don't have any words. You have nothing that you know how to say to the Lord about how you're feeling. And I remember my sister praying, Lord, we don't know what to say, but we are thankful that we don't have to grieve the way that pagans do, that we can come in your name and ask you to help us, that you will even intercede on our behalf when we don't know what to say. And so we just were like groaning at his feet and saying, you know, we miss our mom and we're suffering and we're hurting. So we felt like there was a lot on our plate. And then we came back home from the funeral, and we found out some things in the church that we were in that our situation was going to be changing, and we were going to be moving on from that church. And there was some hurt and some brokenness through that. And so it was just felt like it was just being heaped on. And I still really deep in the grief of losing my mom. And we were living in the parsonage at the time. We were the youth pastors, but there wasn't a senior pastor. And so a new senior pastor was coming, and we were asked to move, and we had no place to go. And so my friend, a true sister in Jesus, came and said, why don't you live in our basement? We have, you know, a second entrance and we've got room for you. And, you know, she invited this like hard grieving family to come live in her home with her. And it was wonderful. But at the same time, when I look back on that time, it was a very dark time for me. We lived in a basement that had no windows. So like physically, it was very dark. And it was this time of year when, you know, like Easter's coming, but it's still snowing and there's nothing blooming and it's dark and cloudy and rainy. And I just remember telling the Lord, I just need some light. I just need you to show me some light. I feel like I am just burdened down by this dark and this hurt and this pain that was in my heart. And I was pretty angry about the things that I felt like he was doing to me. And I didn't understand why he was choosing those things at that point. So we moved from that place, and the church body really, I had some great women in my life that came around me, and ones who'd lost mothers or had lost loved ones and who had, you know, had babies that went to heaven. And they helped me work through some of those things. And I all the while felt like I wasn't abandoned, but I still had that ache of, you know, that God, I just felt like he was doing this to me. And he little by little showed me things that, reasons that he was using these circumstances in my life. It doesn't make him feel any better. But he showed me ways that he was going to use the loss of my parent or, you know, this grief about my babies. After we had Titus, and we got pregnant with Titus actually while we were living in that dark basement. He was a little glimpse of hope that the Lord gave us and light. And so we had Titus. And then a couple years later, we got pregnant with another baby. And I went to a hospital checkup thinking that I was going to hear my baby's heartbeat. It was our, you know, third baby, and everything had been healthy. I'd had a great pregnancy. I had been sick as a dog. So everybody always said, oh, well, when you're sick, you know, everything's fine. So I didn't expect when they couldn't find the baby's heartbeat. And we had lost that baby as well. And so I called Paul at that appointment and I told him, you know, we kind of cried together. And then I remember calling a friend who had the week before miscarried her second baby. And I remember thinking, wow, that's a lot. Most women don't have to do that twice. I can't imagine what she's going through. And then here I was sitting in the parking lot. And I remember saying to her, Andy, I don't know why the Lord is doing this to me. I already did this. Like, I got this. I got the message. I know how to help grieving families. I have compassion. Why is he doing this to me again? And I don't think she had any good answers for me at that point because she was feeling the same way. And I don't know if you've ever felt that way, like the Lord is doing something to you. But I had to have surgery with that pregnancy. And I just remember being really fearful and scared. And I didn't really want to let that baby go. The morning of my surgery, the Lord woke me up early because I think he knew I had things to deal with before I was put under for that surgery. And I just opened my Bible. It was one of those moments of like you crack it open and you hope that you just hit the right thing. And he gave me these verses. It's in Romans 8, and it's talking about our future glory. And it was a reminder to me that my baby was not of this world. She was not made for this place. My children that are here on earth weren't made for this place. And that her life was meant to bring glory to God. And so however he needed to do that was how he was going to do it. And he chose to take her before she was born. So this is what he gave me that morning. I consider that our present sufferings are not worth comparing with the glory that will be revealed in us. The creation waits in eager expectation for the sons of God to be revealed. For the creation was subject to frustration, not by its own choice, but by the will of the one who subjected it in hope that the creation itself will be liberated from its bondage to decay and brought into the glorious freedom of the children of God. We know that the whole of creation has been groaning as in the pains of childbirth right up to the present time. Not only so, but we ourselves who have the first fruits of the Spirit groan inwardly as we wait eagerly for our adoption as sons, the redemption of our bodies. For in this hope we are saved. But hope that is seen is no hope at all. Who hopes for what they already have? But if we hope for what we do not have, we wait for it patiently. In the same way, the Spirit helps us in our weakness. We do not know what we ought to pray for, but the Spirit himself intercedes for us with groans that words cannot express. And he who searches our hearts knows the mind of the Spirit, because the Spirit intercedes for the saints in accordance with God's will. This just brought me comfort in knowing that even though I was angry with him for doing this to me, that he was going to work it all out in me, and that I could bring those things to him. I could say to him, why did you do this? I never felt that pain that Jesus felt on the cross, like God had forsaken me and left me and turned his back. Thank the Lord that I still felt his presence and his surrounding comfort. But I did have to struggle through that, and I had to suffer and understand that, you know, he has a bigger purpose. And we waited a little while for our autumn to come into our family. We had another loss after that second baby, so we had three. And about a year after that last loss was when Autumn was born. And we felt during that time that the Lord just kept whispering to us, hope, put your hope in me. I'm gonna bless you. I'm gonna take care of you. And I think Paul even felt like the Lord showed him, you know, I'm gonna give you another baby. I don't know that I ever had that confidence in those moments to say, God's gonna give us another child. Because as a woman, you're scared. You know, there's something going on. Why have I lost two babies in a row? And so we just really had to put our trust in him. And he provided for us in that way. And I'm thankful that he did. But if he hadn't, I know that he would have continued to be that anchor, and he would have continued to have those whisperings in my heart that would draw me close to him.
Life is hard. He tells us that. That life can be a struggle. And the truth is, it's okay to question. It's okay to say why. Jesus even did it on the cross. But here are just some couple of things that we need to remember whenever you are facing dark times, whenever we are going through a bad time. Here are some things that you need to remember. The first thing, you need to remember to trust. Trust in the Lord. That he knows what he's doing, and his ways are better than ours. And even in the midst of grief and some hard things that we are going through, know and trust that he is good. If you're going through a loss of a loved one today, trust. If you are struggling in your marriage, or maybe you're struggling of trying to get married, trust. If you have a sickness or a disease that's getting you down, trust. Trust in his healing. If you are struggling finding a job or struggling just trying to get money that you need to face another day or another week, trust. Trust that he will provide. So the first thing that we need to do whenever we're going through hard times is we need to trust. The second thing is we need to know that God is good, and he wants good for us. He has a plan for you. He has a plan for each of us. And Jeremiah says, he has a plan for you, a plan for good. He is good. So we need to remember, in the midst of hard times, we need to know that God is still good. And he wants good for you. And he has a plan for you. You also have to remember, in the midst of darkness, you have to remember that God is for us. And if God is for us, then who can be against us? When we have God on our side, we are victorious. So remember that God is for you. He is with you. And lastly, remember that God is with us. You are not doing this alone. As God came alongside Mary and Martha and wept for them who are weeping over their brother who is just died, he comes and he's with us and he mourns for us as well. That God will never leave you. He will never forsake you. This is his promise. He will always be there. And he will show himself to you in different ways, through different people. Remember the footprints in the sand? I didn't read the ending to you. Listen to the words of the ending of this poem of someone who's struggling that he's only seen one set of footprints during these dark times. Then the Lord replied to him, "The years when you have seen only one set of footprints, my child, it is then when I carried you." You see, maybe you feel distant from God. Maybe you're crying out why to him. Maybe you're looking back and you're only seeing that there's one set of footprints and you feel like you're doing this alone. But it's that time when God is carrying us. That he's with us. That he loves us. So maybe you are going through some darkness this morning. Or maybe not. But what we do know is if you're not, at some point we all go through trials. At some point we will all face darkness in one way or another. But let's keep our eyes focused on the light, on Jesus, who will carry us through because he loves us that much. This morning, the band is going to come up and lead us in a couple more songs. If God is speaking to you in one way or another this morning, and if you just need to come to the altar is open. Or maybe you just need to talk to someone. Please reach out to someone to talk to them. If it's me or if it's someone else that you feel comfortable with. But know that you're not doing this or going through this alone. Maybe you're just in need of peace this morning. Find peace in his love. Know that because of his cross, he has saved you. He has blessed you.